The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. The Ozarks, in the heartland of America, bring recreation, entertainment, relaxation, and fun to people needing just that. But for some, the Ozarks is more than just a vacation, and more than just their home. It's the place where they would disappear without a trace. The vastness of the terrain and the myriad of waterways and lakes in this region makes searching for missing persons a challenge. And the manpower needed to cover such an extraordinary amount of space is generally not available. This makes these cases all the more important to be heard by the public. Someone out there knows something. Where are these folks that are lost in the Ozarks? Hello, and welcome back to part two of our Lost in the Ozarks series. Part one covered the stories of Renee Williams and Donald Lee Irwin, and briefly the story of Kenneth Webb and Quincy Hill. But those are just four out of the 89 missing persons from the Ozarks. This episode will continue with two more stories. Two more people that have vanished with not so much a clue as to where they could be. The trouble we have with these 89 missing persons in the Ozarks is that many of them have no information in their case file. Just a name, an age, a physical description, and a date that they disappeared. We don't know any circumstances or details of how they became a missing person, most of them. This episode, however, we will talk about one case that has been discussed a little bit in the media, and that is the story of Echo Lloyd. I had, in fact, followed her case from the beginning, and I knew that she was from Missouri, but I didn't realize she was from a town that is located in the heart of the Ozarks. We will also talk about a really bizarre case with some odd circumstances that took place back in 1996. The case of Robert Garman is so strange to me, not necessarily that something happened to him. He did seem to put himself in a state that might invite some nefarious activities. But with what we do know, I'm just surprised that Robert hasn't been found. Echo Michelle Lloyd.
mom did not just wander off. That something has happened to my mom and it's time for us to figure out what it is. I need people to listen and help get her face out there. I need someone brave to be able to step forward. Because somebody knows what happened to my mom. I will never stop fighting for her. I will never stop being her voice. I will not stop until she is home.
On Saturday, May 9th, 2020, Echo received a call from her daughter, Kelsey. Kelsey was an adult living on her own with a baby, and Echo was a doting grandmother. In fact, she absolutely loved being a meemaw. Also worth noting, at age 47, Echo looked much younger than that, and people were often surprised that she was a grandmother. May 9th of that year was the day before Mother's Day. Kelsey had called her mom and said she wanted to come over and visit, but Echo was kind of hinting around that she had things to do and Kelsey didn't need to come over. The next day, Sunday, May 10th, Kelsey tried to call her mom and at least wish her a happy Mother's Day over the phone, but Echo wasn't answering. Eventually, Kelsey decided to just drive over to her mother's house anyway with a card and some flowers. When she arrived at her mother's house, she noticed that her mom's car was missing. The house was also locked up, so Kelsey just left the card and the flowers on the doorstep for when she arrived home. It was obvious to Kelsey that her mom was out and about. Nothing really seemed too out of the ordinary. Yet. Every day following Mother's Day that week, Kelsey continued to call her mom. Echo was pretty close to her children and her grandchildren, and Kelsey couldn't understand why her mom wasn't answering her. In fact, after a day or so, when she would call her mom, her cell phone would go straight to voicemail. On Friday, May 15th, 2020, Kelsey went back to her mom's house. She said, enough is enough. When she got to her mom's house in Edwards, Missouri, she saw her mother's car in the driveway this time. She thought, oh good, mom's home. Although she was still confused why her mom hadn't called her back. She also noticed that the plant she had left for her mom on the porch had been moved. So Kelsey went up to the door, noticed that it was locked, so she knocked, but received no answer. Kelsey walked around the entire house looking for her mom, but there was no sign of her. Kelsey decided that she had to get in the home. She really had a bad feeling at this point. This was extremely out of the ordinary for her mother, and she just had that gut feeling that something was wrong. So Kelsey found a way to access the home through a window. And once inside the home, Kelsey's feeling that something was off grew even stronger. Something was very wrong. Echo was known to be a neat freak. In fact, Kelsey describes her as OCD. Yet here in the home, there was food laying around, dishes piled up in the sink, and overflowing trash cans. She even found food sitting out on the counter that had mold growing on it. Walking around the house, Kelsey found her mom's purse, wallet, and cigarettes sitting on her bedroom nightstand, along with her Mother's Day card envelope, which had been opened. And Kelsey was really confused by now because she would never have left to go anywhere, leaving behind her purse, her wallet, and her cigarettes. Plus, her car was in the driveway, although Kelsey did notice that she couldn't find her car keys anywhere. Kelsey also noticed that her mother's medication was missing. It isn't specified what medication Echo was taking, but Kelsey did hint that it could have been something that somebody might have wanted to steal. So Kelsey starts walking around the property. She goes outside and she starts calling for her mother. Her mother's house sat on 10 acres and there was no neighbor within eyesight of the house. So she starts walking around and just screaming out her mother's name. But she got nothing. Kelsey decided to go and speak first to a neighbor who had been pretty friendly with Echo, or at least they had a bit of a history, and it isn't a great one. This neighbor said that he had in fact gone with Echo on that Sunday, May 10th, on Mother's Day to run some errands, and that included going to a Walmart, which Kelsey found believable. She had found a receipt on her mother's nightstand that was dated Sunday, May 10th, from Walmart, and it did have Echo's signature on it. But the neighbor said that they returned home after, and that was the end of that. So Kelsey knew she had to report her mom missing at this point. And authorities came out, and they do start investigating. They learned that there was an actual sighting of her at a Dollar General on that Sunday, May 10th, and the employees there said that she was actually with a group of people. And investigators will also learn from Kelsey that there was a recent incident with this neighbor. 2 weeks before Echo went missing, she was spending time at Kelsey's house, and she told her that she was having problems with him. In fact, she told her daughter that he had, quote, taken over everything, end quote. She went on to say that he had taken over her car, her house, and her finances. Kelsey, of course, was confused and alarmed, but Echo said that she had finally had enough and she was going to go back and take her life back. Kelsey was worried that day, and she was worried for her mother. She describes her mother as a non-confrontational person, someone who just is that type of person who wants everybody to get along and everyone to be happy. But Echo assured Kelsey that she would handle it, she would take care of it, and she would go back home and confront her neighbor and explain to him that there needed to be boundaries. Which I think there has to be a lot more to that story, right? I don't know how somebody comes into your life and just takes over everything when you don't want them to. Finances, your home, everything. And that incident, that conversation that Kelsey and Echo had that day at Kelsey's house was 2 weeks before Echo would disappear. I took a close look at Google Maps where Echo's house was, and it's pretty isolated. It's surrounded by a lot of trees, woods, and it's real close to Deer Creek. The area of Edwards, Missouri, is considered in the Lakes of the Ozarks region. And if you're familiar with popular vacation destination places in the Ozarks, like Osage Beach, Edwards is just a short drive. Edwards is also a very, very small town, and while very rural and a very small population in itself, it's definitely located in the heart of the Ozarks. There have been very few clues released in Echo Lloyd's case, and police have said they have been very intentional about that. Interestingly, Texas Equisearch had agreed to help in the search for Echo, but their policy is that they have to be invited in to help by law enforcement. And when approached about doing so, local law enforcement said they were not welcome to come and assist, which, in my opinion, is very unfortunate, because if there's a group qualified to help search these remote and vast areas, it would be Texas Equisearch. The family has also set up a Facebook page, Bring Echo Home, and there's also a website, Bring Echo Home. Please go follow their page and show your support to the family. It has been 2 years that anyone has seen or heard from Echo Lloyd, and this family needs answers. You can find some additional resources on Echo Lloyd's case also over on YouTube. Web Sleuths did an interview with Kelsey, as did John Lorden and Jason Hebert. We are just left here with so many questions. Who was the group of people seen with her at the Dollar General? Was her property, that 10 acres, and her neighbor's property ever searched? Was it ever determined why her house was such a mess? Who had been living there? Was it the neighbor? And why was the assistance of Texas Equisearch denied? I can't imagine why law enforcement would turn away help. Echo Lloyd is described as a Caucasian woman, dark brown hair and brown eyes. She stands about 5'4" tall and weighs around 100 pounds. Echo has several tattoos, the phrase "Let It Be" with birds on her right forearm, a band with the names Kelsey, Casey, Caitlin, and Kylie on her right wrist, a blue survivor ribbon on her wrist, a rose on her ankle, and a butterfly on the right side of her chest. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Echo Lloyd, please contact the Missouri State Highway Patrol at 800-877-3452. Robert Garman. While we know some of the odd details surrounding Robert Garman's disappearance, we don't know much about Robert himself. Robert was born November 2, 1962. In September of 1996, Robert was 33 years old. Robert and a female friend from Hot Springs, Arkansas, would head to the Ozarks to visit friends. They ended up going to a party with about 15 other people in the Mark Twain Forest near Chadwick, Missouri. Authorities have described this party as a binge party and one that lasted for several days. What I do find odd is we don't know who would report him and his female friend missing, but we know that someone did, because in the report, it states that 2 days after the report was taken, some people were riding on horseback in that region when they came across something extremely alarming and unusual. They found a naked, disheveled, bruised, and disoriented young woman in the forest. This woman was Robert Garman's female friend that he had traveled to the Ozarks with, but Robert was nowhere to be found. Witnesses, likely partygoers, which might bring in some credibility issues, said that they remember a man arguing with this woman and Robert. Shortly after, they saw Robert and his friend walking into the woods, heading over to a camping area. That was actually determined to be the last sighting of Robert Garman on September 4th, 1996. When the woman was finally interviewed by authorities after she was found, she told them quite a story. She said that she had been sexually assaulted and she witnessed Robert getting shot in the face. And that's all we know. We don't know if there is any physical evidence. We don't know if there were any persons of interest. And I'd be curious if the other partygoers were ever identified and questioned. What's also odd to me is some have said this campground area is pretty heavily trafficked. It's a pretty busy place. In September, you're still well within camping season. And if Robert had met with foul play, it seems that somebody likely would have come across him at some point. Hiking and exploring and camping and all of that is really popular there. By looking at the map, it looks like Chadwick sits on the edge of the Mark Twain Forest in Missouri. Chadwick, in particular, is known for their popular ATV and bike trails through the area. A lot of people travel there just for that reason. One report states that the campground that Robert and his friend were walking towards was the Cobb Ridge Campground, which I can see on the map sits right off of these ATV trails. Of course, overall, the area is exceptionally wooded and rural. But you'd still think that if Robert had met with foul play in that area, that someone would have come across him at some point in these past 26 years. Robert does have a NamUs profile, a Doe Network case file, and a Charlie Project page, all with this limited information. There is also a very brief Web Sleuths thread for him, which I was really happy to see. I have a lot of questions. Who was this female friend? She was never identified, and I guess, really, it doesn't matter. But she could possibly hold the key to what really happened out there. And maybe she does know and is afraid to speak up. And I also suppose that she, along with all of the other partygoers, might have zero memory of what happened, since authorities have called this a binge party. So her take on things might be irrelevant or non-existent. I don't see any media coverage for Robert, and in fact, the only photo I could find was very small and a very blurry photo. It's really hard to even see him at all. If you're wondering why the photo I used for him is of poor quality, it's because it's the only photo. So along with the possibility of Robert running into foul play, with drug use likely happening there, we have another possibility of maybe an overdose. or even the possibility that Robert had lost his memory and became lost, all of which has been known to happen with drug use. Robert Garman was last seen in September of 1996 near the Cobb Ridge Campground. Robert is described as a Caucasian male with brown hair and blue eyes. He stands around 5 foot 11 inches tall and weighs around 150 pounds. Robert has multiple tattoos on his back, arms, and chest, and he might go by his nickname, Bob. Robert was 33 years old when he was last seen and would today be 59. If you have any information on the whereabouts of Robert Garman, please contact the Christian County Sheriff's Department at 417-581-1519. Thank you all so much for listening to Echo and Robert's stories. Two more people lost in the Ozarks. In 1981, Janice Potts was a devoted mother of three children, and at age 40, was shocked to learn that she was pregnant once again. Janice was also unmarried and a devout member of the Pentecostal church, so suffice to say, she was under a lot of stress. On August 28, 1981, Janice's middle son woke up for school as usual and noticed his mother sleeping. Since she worked third shift, this was completely normal. When he came home from school that day, the house was unlocked, lights were on, food was in the crock pot, and the iron turned on and ready to be used, but his mom was nowhere to be found. Janice Potts had disappeared. In 2020, Ira Lee Briscoe was reported missing on December 23rd after family and friends realized no one had seen or heard from him since December 17th, 6 days earlier. And Ira spoke to his mom almost daily. It was then learned that his roommate, Lyman Little, had also vanished. Lyman was a disabled veteran, 49 years old at the time. Ira lived with him and helped care for him. Authorities aren't saying for certain that Ira's disappearance and Lyman's are connected, but I'd say it sure is an odd coincidence. Where are Janice Potts, Ira Briscoe, and Lyman Little? This episode, we will talk about three cases. The case of missing mom Janice Potts from back in 1981, and the cases of Ira Briscoe and Lyman Little, two roommates that went missing in December of 2020. Thank you all so much for your support of the show, and without further ado, let's jump right into these unsolved missing person cases. Janice Potts. This case is taking us back to 1981, 41 years ago. Her story caught my eye because it's definitely bizarre and there is very limited information out there. Janice left behind three teenage children and was herself 4 months pregnant when she vanished. And the circumstances are odd. Who is Janice Potts? We don't know much about Janice's past, but we do know that she was born Janice Steyer in Fort Wayne, Indiana on April 9th, 1941. She was born to parents Raymond and Velma Steyer, and they would have a really big family. She actually had 11 siblings. Janice's mother, Velma, passed away in 1947 when Janice was only 6 years old. It also appears through records that Janice may have given birth in 1960, but lost the baby right after birth. She would go on to have three more children. It's also often mentioned that Janice was a devout member of the Pentecostal church. In 1981, she was living in Harrison, Arkansas. Harrison is a town known for being centrally located right in the Ozarks. She did work a third shift job and was raising three teenagers by herself. August 28, 1981 was a Friday. That morning, Janice's middle son woke up and saw his mom sleeping. Since she worked third shift, that was completely normal. He did leave behind his football pants because he wanted her to sew in some knee pads for him, and he had a football game that night. He came home from school around lunchtime and found his pants already sewn, with a note from his mother saying that they were ready. He also saw his mother back in bed sleeping. When the same son came home from school that afternoon, he found the house unlocked, beans cooking in the crock pot, and the iron turned on and ready to be used. But he also found a note from his mom stating that she had gone to the department store and she should be back home by the time he got home from school. Of course, she wasn't, but he figured she must be running late. That night, he went to his football game, and after the game, while he was driving through town, his older brother flagged him down. He told him that their mother hadn't shown up for work and was missing. They couldn't find her anywhere. And this was extremely out of character. The boys knew something might be wrong and they had to find their mom immediately. Of course, her kids were worried about her. Janice was also 4 months pregnant at the time, and it was never made clear publicly who the father of the baby is. And the kids began looking all over for her with no luck, until they finally did find her car parked at a department store, perhaps the one she indicated she was going to earlier in the day by her note. But if she did leave that note and she was running to the store, I have to wonder, did she accidentally leave the iron on? And she also had food in the slow cooker, so she likely intended on coming right back. When they found her car, they found her purse and her sweater that she always wore inside, but her pocketbook, and by that I believe they mean her wallet, and her car keys were nowhere to be found. Did she just take her pocketbook when she ran into the store and not her purse? I can't imagine August in Arkansas that you'd need a sweater. And likely, because we are going back 41 years, and because social media and online news articles weren't a thing, there isn't much regarding any searches that were done for Janice. Harrison, Arkansas, where Janice and her kids lived, is the county seat for Boone County, with a population of just under 10,000 back in the 1980s. It has a bit of a dark history, too, with lots of racism, race riots, race wars, especially around the early 1900s. However, a lot of that has continued through present day. In fact, Wikipedia states that there are some current labeled hate groups in America that have locations in Harrison. Looking at Harrison, there is one major waterway through the town, the Crooked Creek. It doesn't look huge, but it is there. In fact, it looks big for a creek, but maybe small to be one of the main rivers through the Ozarks. But of course, the whole land and Harrison itself is surrounded by the Ozarks. In 2019, one of Janice's sons came forward saying that he still had hopes to find answers of what happened to his mother. Janice is described as a Caucasian female with dark brown to black hair and brown eyes. She stood 5'7" tall and weighed around 110 pounds back in 1981. Janice was also 4 months pregnant. If you have any information on the case of Janice Potts, please contact the Harrison Police Department at 870-741-5463. Ira Briscoe and Lyman Little.
December 17th. His mom said they talked every single day, but she hasn't heard his voice now for almost 6 months.
Not only have people done something to my son, if that, you know, that's the true story, but they don't realize what they have done to us. It's tearing us apart.
Their son disappeared, seemingly without a trace. With few major leads, new information surrounding the case hopes to drum up some more answers. Briscoe had a roommate, a disabled veteran, someone Briscoe helped take care of and cooked for, Lyman Little.
And he is also missing. And he also went missing around the same time as did Dyer Briscoe.
Both last heard from December 17th.
Now, if you think that it's strange that Ira's roommate is missing, too, you're not the only one. It's something that the Howell County Sheriff's Department is looking into. It's something that Ira's mom thinks is more than just a coincidence.
Something must happen to my son. I don't know this for sure, but I feel like Lyman would step in and try to help protect my son.
And while no major leads have made strides in this case, the Sheriff's Department still gets phone calls often.
Weekly, probably, we'll get a call in reference to this case, and a potential lead will arise from that call.
But this family is hoping for some real answers, and they'll take whatever they can get.
I'll take a bird a hand, anyway. I mean, what am I supposed to say? Because I know if my son was alive, I know he would somehow message me to let me know.
The case of Ira Briscoe and Lyman Little will take us to West Plains, Missouri, another location in the heart of the Ozarks. West Plains is in the southern part of Missouri, near the Arkansas border. And this is the case of two men who disappeared, but no one is even sure if they are connected. Frankly, I don't see how they couldn't be. Ira Lee Briscoe was very close to his mother prior to his disappearance, as you could hear in the clip. They spoke almost daily in some way. In December of 2020, Ira was 25 years old. We know very, very little about Ira's lifestyle, but we know that he lived with a disabled veteran, Lyman Little. Lyman was 49 years old in December of 2020. Ira's family reported him missing on December 23rd, 6 days after anyone had last seen or spoken to him. During law enforcement's investigation into Ira's disappearance, they learned that Lyman Little was also missing. In fact, they learned that Lyman was last seen by anyone else on December 15th, 2020. About a week after the police took the missing person report on Ira, they found his car, a 1995 Mercury Sable. It was at a local scrapyard. Of course, that doesn't look good at all, but authorities also stated that he actually may have given the car to someone else right before he vanished. They just aren't really sure. So, is that another weird coincidence, or is that a possible clue? Another strange coincidence is that the day before Ira was last seen, there was a shooting in a nearby town in Missouri. These two people involved in this shooting were acquaintances of Ira. Lyman Little was 49 years old in December of 2020. He was a disabled veteran and he was a friend of Ira's. In fact, Ira's mom spoke up, as you heard, and said that if something were to have happened to Ira or someone came for him, that Lyman very likely might have stood up for Ira and got involved. Of course, that is purely a theory brought forth by Ira's mother. As the police asked the public for help and tips, they did get a bunch of calls, at least in the beginning. In fact, while investigating over 100 tips that they received, they made 9 arrests. They have said those 9 arrests were for unrelated crimes, however. They still haven't located Ira and Lyman. The sheriff did send out a letter, which I think tells a lot about the investigation into Ira and Lyman's disappearance. I'm going to read you that letter. In this letter, I want to convey as much transparency of the Howell County Sheriff's Office and other collaborating agencies as to the efforts and concern regarding the missing person case of Ira Briscoe and Lyman Little. There have been 9 arrests and 107 reports in connection with this case. The arrests and criminal charges were due to other unrelated crimes, but have been used to further our investigation. Multiple persons associated with this case are currently in prison. The Howell County Sheriff's Office is the primary agency investigating this case. However, multiple law enforcement agencies and other related agencies have assisted in the investigation in various capacities. That includes West Plains Police Department, Missouri State Highway Patrol, Thayer Police Department, Oregon County Sheriff's Office, Fulton County Sheriff's Office, Arkansas State Police, Sharp County, Arkansas Sheriff's Office, who assisted in investigating a rumor that Ira was alive and living in their jurisdiction. Hardy, Arkansas Police Department dealt with some potential witnesses in this case. Baxter County, Arkansas Sheriff's Office assisted in searching an area for Ira's car when he first went missing. Ozark County Sheriff's Office assisted with a lead in reference to the Martin Cemetery, alcohol, firearms, and tobacco. United States Attorney Office, Missouri Department of Corrections Investigative and Intelligence Unit, Missouri Probation and Parole Office, Arkansas Probation and Parole Office, Kansas City Police Department assisted with a tip of Ira possibly being seen in Kansas City, Republic Police Department assisted in a tip of Ira being seen in a Republic Walmart, Fort Smith, Arkansas Police Department conducted an attempted arrest warrant service for an individual rumored Ira was staying with. Branson Police Department, Trinity County Sheriff's Office, Missouri State Highway Patrol Crime Lab, Missouri State Highway Patrol Forensics Computer Lab, Salem, Arkansas Police Department, Missouri Department of Conservation. All forms of investigative techniques have been used, including search warrants, investigative subpoenas, and over 100 interviews were conducted of individuals in the state of Missouri by the Howell County Sheriff's Office alone, and numerous other interviews of people in the state of Arkansas by Arkansas law enforcement were conducted as well. Numerous locations in the state of Missouri, such as Howell County, Oregon County, Douglas County, and the city of West Plains, have been searched for human remains. We have utilized cadaver dogs when information was developed in reference to a possible location of a deceased human body. These searches will continue as additional information is developed. The gravity of this case has been prioritized above other significant cases, and the man hours accumulated during this investigative process is expansive. Lastly, the Howell County Sheriff's Office will continue to remain vigilant in gaining the necessary closure for all those involved. Sincerely, Brent H. Campbell. I like that the Sheriff's Office was so transparent in all the investigative tactics that they were doing. Sometimes we're kind of left in the dark and we're left to wonder, what are they doing? Are they doing anything at all? And a lot of times I think they are behind the scenes. They just can't let us know all the details. This letter kind of generalizes their investigation and gives us a lot of details, but yet not a lot of specific information. So they don't compromise their investigation. It does seem like they're putting forth quite the effort to solve these cases. Ira Lee Briscoe is described as a Caucasian male, standing around 5 foot 10 inches tall and weighing around 160 pounds when he was last seen in December of 2020. He has brown hair and brown eyes. Ira also has a tattoo of the phrase "Live Strong" on the back of his shoulder. He also has tattoos of deer and turkey tracks. He was 25 when he vanished and would today be 27 years old. Lyman Little is described as a Caucasian male, 6 foot 2 inches tall and weighing around 250 pounds when he was last seen, also in December of 2020. Lyman has graying brown hair and hazel eyes. He was 49 years old and would today be 50. If you have any information on the whereabouts of Ira or Lyman, please contact the Howell County Sheriff's Office at 417-256-2544. Thank you so much for listening to the stories of Janice, Ira, and Lyman today. Three more people lost in the Ozarks. We've seen cold cases be solved before, so we can still find out what happened to Janice Potts back in 1981. And as for Ira and Lyman, they have been missing about a year and a half now. And it seems like they're still pushing for answers in Hollow County, Arkansas. Share their names, share their stories. Someone has to know something. We will be back again with another Unsolved Missing Persons episode soon. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Switching between different tools to finish a project can feel stressful and disjointed, especially while juggling tight deadlines in a fast-paced work environment. Now, there's a better way. Grammarly built a writing surface that's a game changer for professionals. It helps move your ideas forward and sharpen your words for better results, all in one place. With Grammarly's AI agents, you get writing support at every step to bring polish and impact to your emails, reports, and proposals without the tab overload. Email sounds robotic, phrasing feels off, writing for a high-stakes client. Grammarly's got you covered. You can even ask Grammarly's AI chat to help brainstorm brilliant proposals, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or even shape a winning sales strategy, all right from your doc. 93% of professionals say that Grammarly helps them get more done. And now it's your turn. Sign up for free and get stronger results. Faster work, smarter sentences, clearer finishes. Visit Grammarly.com to get started. That's Grammarly.com.